Welcome to episode 3 of the Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Roger Kirby, your host and commissioner, and I'm joined once again by my loyal, loyal lieutenant, Mr. Stephen Rudkin.
Hey there, Roger. How are you doing?
I'm very good. Very good. Crazy weekend. Crazy weekend. Week 1 in the books already. How are you feeling?
Yeah, well, I actually was nursing a bit of man flu over the weekend, so it was...
Ah, bless your little cunt.
Yeah, I know. So you may hear I've still got a bit of a frog in the throat right now, and that actually made the weekend, bless me, a little bit tough to try and stay up on this side of the pond and watch a few of the games, so...
It's always bad anyway when, you know, you've got work early doors on Monday as it is, and you've got to get up, and the late nights, you know, you've watched maybe a bit of college ball on the Saturday as well. It certainly makes life difficult for us guys over this this side of the pond. Keep pestering my wife to move over to the East Coast, but she doesn't seem too keen on it. So we'll keep going. We'll get there eventually.
But it's only for 16 weeks. it's been a long off season.
Maybe you know, contextualise it a little bit better for her, and maybe she'll buy into it. But no, it was a great weekend. So glad it was back, and it was just. Just crazy, just an absolute crazy. Anything jump off the page for you?
Well, I think the word crazy sums it up in the sense that I'm still feeling like I've only just caught up with all the action, because there was so much happening on that first Sunday evening, and there were like some shock results, upsets happening, and then even things like the Eagles going way behind to the Jaguars and then coming back, and you were trying to keep up with all your fantasy scores, and it's just good to be back in the season, and all the action happening, and
well,
looking across all your multiple devices.
Take everything that you know and everything you thought you know and knew, and just throw it out the window. Because it means absolutely nothing going into week one. You know, like, you know, what did you go in the pick-ems, for example?
Well, I'm sure you're bringing that up because I know that you actually did favourably, but...
no, I wouldn't do a thing like that to you.
Came out with 8-8 in the end, which I might add last season did pretty good in those and was normally in the 12 win range most weeks. So going 8-8, yeah, just a few upsets from my point of view, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just looking at mine now, you know. Saints looked like a home, you know, banker to win that. I had to assume that the Pats were going to win it. You know, Bears. I mean, you know, how did I get half of those wrong? I mean, I even had the Chargers beating the Cardinals. And,
yeah, same for me there.
Just where did that come from?
And then, just kind of going off on that though, is we're both in a pick'em. League ourselves, which I think you should have all received if you're in the league, a request to join our pick'em group. I think somebody else has already, and so if you didn't get that, we'll send it out again, but try and look for our pick'em group, move the sticks and get involved and see if you can all beat my 8-8 record from week one.
Yeah, shouldn't be too difficult. Breaking news.
Yes,
any
indeed.
Ideas?
Oof. Not sure. Last time we dropped the Ryan Mallett trade on this breaking
we
news.
Certainly did. And with all the Ray Rice stuff that's going on, you would have thought it would be that, but no. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on. Drum roll, please. On Stitcher.
Yes.
And we're on iTunes. And we're on Twitter. We've made it.
We made our own Twitter account. That's making it.
Certainly is. Really big time stuff. Really is.
So, for you avid listeners, you can now follow us on the social media app Twitter by looking for the Twitter feed at @pipe_slippers. We'll be hitting you with lots of fantasy news and information about this podcast.
Juicy little nuggets.
And, yeah, you may have obviously already found us on iTunes and Stitcher. So, please subscribe and download on multiple devices and anywhere you can get podcasts.
Reviews, anything, guys, you know, it is appreciated that you guys are listening, and hopefully you find it enjoyable. I know we, in a perverse kind of weird kind of way, certainly enjoy recording it, especially when we get to record it twice. We had a little bit of
technical
issues, shall we say.
I'm learning from my mentor, producer TD, from the NFL shows.
Yes, today's FUBAR.
He's even up there with some of the Acris Law latex salesman stuff.
Oh, I wasn't going to go there, but as you have, you know.
Anyway, we're recording again. It's seamless. You guys would have never have known if Roger didn't mention.
That's what I'm here to do.
Yes.
Week one. Results, fantasy results. I am still reeling from managing somehow to score 125.86 points.
Don't forget the 0.86.
And lose. How did that happen?
If it's any consolation, you'd have beaten all 10 other teams in the league.
Well, what did Mike Patton say?
Pass-fail. For a pass-fail lead.
And I failed.
You did. You are 0-1. As am I.
Well, you know we love our nominal data.
Yep. It comes back to many of our discussions about penalty kicks. It's either in or it's not. It can't be a good penalty or a bad one. It's either in or it's out.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Real mixed emotions in the sense of, if I'd have played the Buffalo Bills, who I had sat on my bench after picking up the Jets, thinking, yes, they're definitely going to be all over the, even with the poor back end, they're definitely going to be all over Oakland. If I'd have played the Buffalo Bills and bet against Cutler, I'd have won.
Solid fantasy strategy that was in.
Oh, crazy. But, you know, fair play to Willie. You know, Ryan had a stonking week, and, you know, Forte, Murray, you know, really only Vincent Jackson was the only guy to really let him down, you know.
Yeah.
Bell, Davis, Hauschka, the Broncos, you know, everyone's chipped in there and just made my life
difficult. We were as well kind of just joking around almost that you were still in it even after Sunday night with, because you had four players going on Monday night, but, and you thought, and then Megatron gets 28 and you think, yeah, I can actually do this, but you're trying to pull back, I think, 45 points.
Yeah, it was a big ask, and obviously here, Willie had Joyke Bell as well, who was, you know, was chipped in and...
chipped in and brought him home.
Exactly. Fair play. But, my... as much as, you know, I'd like to hark on about, you know, I'd have beaten the rest of the 10 teams, still... 0-1, and moving on to next week. But to be fair, my esteemed colleague didn't fare much better.
No, indeed. 0-1 myself. Went down by 9 points to Danby and his Andrew Luck-led team with 26 points. Losing by 9 is... It's only a bit frustrating when you know you've got so many points on the bench. I had quite a few points left there, but I still, looking back, I don't blame myself for not playing any of the guys that I didn't play. I was just hurt by the ones that did, because I wouldn't have ever chosen the guys on my bench ahead of who I did start. So.
Yeah, I mean, Reed is really the one who's crippled you there. But
picked up an injury there with his hamstring, and I love the quote, it's the best one ever from Gruden, he'll be out for some time. I enjoy that one. So, that matchup, Reed versus Danby's man, Ertz, from Philly.
And I was all over him for reaching for him as well, but, you know, serves me right, I guess.
He picked up 13 and essentially won the game, if you compare the matchups down the board.
Yep, I mean, you had a kicker there with 17 points.
Yeah, kept me in it there, Brian, for a while with his 250-yarders to win that game for Atlanta. As well, I wasn't really helped by the fact that Cowboys were just self-destructing and Kaepernick didn't really need to do as much on the offensive side of the ball for the Niners. So.
I mean, from a fantasy perspective, it's a respectable score.
Hmm.
But, on you know, strip away the fantasy, Nabitsa that I saw, man, he was throwing some darts.
Yeah. Some, I don't know if it's just it, they look faster in Jerry World. Something about the atmosphere in there. They seem to just, they're like tracer bullets, but
yeah, I mean, the one where he trips, kind of stumbles and hasn't set himself, and he throws it to Davis, and it's just,
I know,
it's crazy.
Unlike some other quarterbacks we've seen this week who got into a bit of trouble, maybe getting half tackled and tripping a bit, and then they throw a pick off balance.
Or watching Manning scramble out the pocket to make 10 yards to be called back for holding penalty.
Oh no, nightmare.
Oh dear. Good
so, yeah, a loss for me. And yeah, 0-1. But moving on to next week.
Indeed, across the board. I mean, I was 5-1, so the six leagues that we playing together, I was 5-1. You were 4-2, weren't you?
Yeah,
so
4-2, but lost the other league where I'm commissioner. So,
so basically, the leagues in which we commission, we both lost. Sterling effort from this case.
I don't know. It's like we should care more about those, but it just doesn't work. Maybe we spend too much time being commissioner and not enough time on our team. But
that's kind of worth. Hawks repeat and Klumberg's.
Yeah,
this was the one that you had down as your matchup from last week.
Yeah, to see if that duo of Breeze and Graham would deliver on their projected 40 last week, points wise. Together, they came away with 23 combined, which, as we know, is quite a poor week for those two. But enough to win this matchup.
Now, are you 100% sure about that? Because we have had,
in many
a previous incarnation of this podcast, a little bit of problems with your scoring.
We've had a number of technical difficulties this evening. And looking at the league scores in the Game Centre online, I discovered Hawks Repeat were losing it, according to the matchup outcomes.
They certainly haven't. They're 1-1.
A little refresh and they won, so.
Yeah, and as you say, even with, Graham, who you factor in to be a big difference maker, Hopkins has really stepped up to the plate there and had a tidy week, considering that, Fitzpatrick was the quarterback and not supposed to be doing too much. So, he'll be pretty pleased with that. And
if you look at that matchup, you've got another key thing as well, which, as we just touched on about the Cowboys and the Niners, having an 18 points for Niners over nothing for the Ravens for the Klumbergs, if you look at it that way, what's the difference between the two?
Yeah, that kills you, doesn't it? Without a doubt. And that's the 49ers defence that is supposed to be struggling. And granted, it's against the Cowboys, and the Cowboys aren't supposed to be great, but Dick Fangio, I definitely think, deserves a little bit of credit for, getting that unit, hustling and, making plays, because they've been decimated of late.
There's a guy that we like, Reed, in the back end there, which really, he got another pick and nearly ran that one back. So.
Yeah, when you think of the two safeties that came off the board last year, him and Vaccaro, they could be two really, really top safeties in this league going forward.
Yeah,
or in the National Football League. Is that how you've got to coin it?
No, just this league.
Just this league, you'll be okay. I'm just checking. It's good to know these things. Just before we move on to the next game, I know you've been really, really high on this guy, Harvin. Talk to me about him. He was excellent. That was a bit football pundit-y. guys in the States, by the way, there's a soccer program. It's called Match of the Day, and you've seen it. There's a Scottish guy, and he's to the point, and he's just I apologise for that, but no, he was excellent. Feel free to carry on.
What I do like about Harvin is because he makes plays in terms of big plays, he can score a lot of yards. He actually hasn't found the end zone yet. Still, in fantasy, got you 10 points because he ends up making those 30, 40, 50 yard plays out of nowhere. So
the jet sweeps were really causing problems. And I tell you what, if you've got Lynch in your fantasy, you want Harvin to stay healthy, because he is going to open up so many holes.
Yeah, change the pointer of attack and the defence aren't sure. They're having to cover all options and it's going to open up a lot of running room in the middle there.
Exactly. My game was that I kind of wanted to touch on was from the previous week was the Scratch and Sniff versus the Eskimo Bros. And I was particularly interested in the... well, kind of because Toby Gearhart, because I had him in a couple of other leagues and, you know, kind of guessing I'm beginning to regret it a little bit in the sense that every yard that he had, from what I've read, he gained and earned behind a poor offensive line. But it wasn't so much about those guys. It was more about Matthew Stafford with 30.04 points for the Eskimo Bros, which has really crowned that victory.
Yeah, when you look at the matchup with his opposite QB and Rodgers for Scratch and Sniff, obviously going into Seattle was a tough game for him and didn't come out well fantasy-wise, that's for sure. And when you're up against a 30-point scoring quarterback, you generally take home the victory. So Stafford having one of those kind of weeks he had early on last season as well, the 300 to 400-yard game. And he can do that. But
the knock on him is always going to be until he leads them into the playoffs and cuts out those silly picks and always seems to just grow up and lead that team.
Yeah.
You know, that will be the knock on him. I guess it stems from the baseball cap on backwards and the rest of that. But
there's a few comments being made just about the fact he seems to look almost a bit more athletic almost this year in terms of, and I saw a couple of plays where he really moved out of the pocket well and then made the right decision.
Yeah, because the guy's got a cannon of an arm.
Yeah, he can. He gets him out of trouble a lot of times, but he's also knowing when to use that arm to get yourself out of trouble or using that arm to just get rid of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, good win for Eskimo Bros, and I think Anthony got to us on Twitter and just a little bit concerned about his running back situation going forward, but he's got Nation Moreno on his bench available to move forward after Pierce being benched essentially and having Rice on his lineup as well, so
yes,
and also Terrence West on his bench, so shouldn't look.
Yeah, it could work out okay in the end. Funny how these things, isn't it? So you know, you pick them and you take a couple of speculative flyers and like in the late rounds of the draft, and you can either hit on them big or you can blow up in your face. But that one could end up looking nice.
Which is a shame, seeing as you were after a running back yourself.
Yes.
Moreno sat there looking quite nice.
Yeah, I know. And let's put that out there now. An RB2. So feel free to. Have a think, guys. But then I'm thinking of the type of guy that I'm going to be wanting is probably never going to be on the block. But, you know, maybe a couple of weeks in, if somebody's particularly struggling at wide receiver, we might be able to do something. So, something to bear in mind, guys.
Good stuff. So, moving on through the results, I've got the D-Train.
Footballers.
Yeah.
So David and Lenny.
David. Just beating Lenny there, 8-point win.
And after all of that abuse you gave him last week for picking up Peyton Manning at one, and the old, you know, decrepit, broken down roster, you know, picks him up the big W.
Well, it does indeed, and it came almost from somewhere you probably didn't expect, which was Greg Olsen with 14 points. And
sneaky good, I think, for me. Is someone when I watch him, he doesn't blow me away, but you're always catching passes, making clutch plays. And
I think it's about being available and in the right place at the right time there in Carolina, where you've obviously got rookie Benjamin and you've got a few other...
You look good, by the way.
Very good indeed. And the other receivers aren't great names, and if Olsen seems to always be the safety net, even for Derek Anderson,
You again came in and did all right.
Did the job a backup should do.
Yeah. And I wonder whether they'll run with him again next week on the basis that let's try and get Cam, you know.
Yeah. Definitely healthy and exactly. Not risk, risk that fracture developing further if you don't let it heal properly. Olsen, 14 points there for David, and the D train taking the win. Obviously, Lenny's had a bit of a shocker there. Doug Martin only getting 1.6.
Yeah, and
Witten.
You've got RG3 as well. Those guys wish it was their rookie year all over again. I think we'll definitely want to touch on RG3 a little bit later.
So what does that leave us with? The Wyatt
and Tony.
Wyatt and Tony, 20-point victory for Wyatt. His two eagles at the top of the roster. Foles managed to pick up enough points there in the end after what was a horrendous first half for the Eagles and those three turnovers from him.
Will, just on a side note, will he try hard for Mariota? I'm bearing in mind that where they're going to be picking in the draft.
You obviously, coaches have their links and their favourites, and obviously he's the most almost recent head coach to come from being involved in college and looking at bringing in your own guys. You probably see a few of them come his way going forward, but
because I almost wonder now whether is it if you have someone like Chip Kelly, and I've got a lot of time for the guy because he's very embracing of sport science, and seems to be a real kind of forward thinker. Some of the stuff that you hear is just batshit insane, but
he doesn't really seem to have take on the sports science stuff himself personally, looking at his physique.
Yeah, Tony hit us up on Twitter and said he's the small wide receiver and maybe Julian Edelman, which did certainly make me chuckle. I've been thinking about it and wondering whether he likes two quarterbacks, serviceable quarterbacks. I wonder if he's one of those guys that rather than rewarding a QB with a big contract, whether he's the type of guy that will draft rookie quarterbacks and bring them in, fit them into his system and let them go, and that way you can afford to pay, a Shady McCoy. You can afford to bring in another, stud wide receiver. You can, maybe afford to really beef up that defense.
I guess it's just those different mentalities that a head coach, so recent from the college game, they have to constantly deal with every year recruiting and bringing in new guys, compared to the NFL head coach who's is all about the business and the contract, and once you've got your guy you kind of want to keep it for the long term. But when you're used to being able to work with what you've got, and maybe there's better value in keeping other players at other positions.
Exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that Foles is in the the echelons of the mega kind of franchise crippling contracts, but why hitch your wagon to potentially a guy that could end up, you end up paying $18 to $20 million dollars a year, and then you're scratching around trying to, build a roster around it. Denver are going to find that out because, for example, Julius Thomas is going to want paying. Demaryius Thomas is going to want paying. There is no way you're going to be able to afford to keep the likes of, Wes Welker on that roster next year. And then you've got Monty Ball is going to be potentially coming up the year after, and he's going to, okay, he's a running back, but it does, and when Damashek's harping on about, Peyton, needs to deliver this and that, as much as I know some of it is just Peyton bashing, I get his point about, if you're going to invest that money in the quarterback, he's got to be the difference maker sometimes.
Yeah, and then especially when you look over to the kind of situation with Brady, he seems to keeps talking about this, he's taking a bit of a pay cut in order to keep all those guys around him, and they keep going, and he's not getting rewarded by not taking the money, and it's a very fine line between money and performance. And
here's another, just a little thought that I've been having, with Larry Fitzgerald's cap number next year, don't be surprised to see the you know, with the Patriots picking up a few extra draft picks, and with some of the moves they've made recently, watch them take Fitzgerald on a trade.
You heard it here first, folks.
Need a sound bite for that.
You left space for me to drop one in
there. I did, yeah. Thinking that, of course, he had one ready prepared. Why wouldn't he?
We got
off topic a little bit there, but it's just something that, that crossed my mind and thought worthwhile going down. So
yeah, that rounds up the results from week one.
And you want to cover some awards?
Yeah, so we tried to get a few different thoughts on some different awards just to try and keep the league interesting. I'll just quickly run through the few standard awards that the NFL.com Fantasy League gives out automatically each week.
This first one is a scant consolation, but I will sit through it nonetheless.
The Above and Beyond Award goes to I've Made a Huge Mistake. For outperforming projections by 50.32 points. So, congratulations, Commissioner. Well done on outperforming your projections.
It's like it just ruins your week. It does. I mean, walking around like with a bear with a sore head for, you know, a couple of days, just in utter disbelief. But
you don't win fantasy championships from outperforming your projections.
No, you certainly don't.
The second award for most satisfying player trophy goes to the Hurricanes with Matt Ryan for scoring 34 points this week. So that's very sponsored by Snickers, that one.
Get some nuts.
Thanks for that drop.
You can put that in the can and rework that one for future podcasts.
Hey, I can only just about manage to record the second attempt so far, so we'll leave drops.
Maybe you should put the first one out of just me talking to myself.
That was good. It was a good listen. Then it's about 4 minutes of me at the start, and then I disappear.
It's just some loon speaking to himself and waiting for someone magically to appear at the other end. There we go. But bringing it back,
League Award.
Just hang on. So before you move on there, I just want to touch on Ryan because you know, he's a pickup, and I guess many of us are looking at. And I know it's week one and the overreactions and the rest of it, but you know, that if you'd have waited on a QB, you were picking him up in a lot of the leagues that we played in. You know, 8, 9, and 10, and you know, some great value there when you think he's going to be slinging it around.
Yeah, I mean, he's got options and receivers back this year, healthy so far. I think what was interesting is always going to be that O-line. It's missing Baker again this year, but he did do well against the Saints in terms of moving around, getting the ball out, and they can just give him enough protection to find his weapons. He'll rack up some points.
I heard Mike Smith say that it was his best game, he believed, in a Falcons uniform.
Interesting. Very interesting. So yeah, most satisfying player, Matt Ryan for the Hurricanes.
Need a drum roll for this one, don't we?
We do indeed. The Poor Lineup Decisions Trophy goes to Gobias Industries.
Who owns that team?
That would be me. So,
54.6
points on my bench.
Now, to be fair to you, and I don't get me wrong, I enjoy nothing more than to see you crumble and fail. But as you say, it would have been some real bizarre coaching decisions to have played the guys that you played.
Yeah, I think the only thing I could have done is to predict really that Zach Stacy was going to have a poor week, and then maybe, which looking going forward, I might look at, which is Vereen moving up to the RB2 spot, so therefore I can play around with those receivers I have on the bench. But Steve Smith was the main contributor to that 54 points with 17 points. But
yeah, and at the end of the day, he's a decent kind of pickup you know, in terms of when you got guys on bye week as a flex, that he's not kind of really a first option.
But if you take away the 80-yard touchdown, and that's 14 of his 17 points, he only got 3.8 from the rest of it. So one play, and that made the difference. But ultimately, I take home that award. So thank you, everyone. Moving on to a couple of awards we decided to put out there.
I'm going to get some trophies and get those sorted, aren't we?
Yeah.
When I say we, it might have to be you or maybe me on my lunch tomorrow. We'll have to have a conversation about that.
We'll get round to it. The move of the week, I'm sure there might be a better title for it, but given out each week to the owner who makes the best move that may result in them winning their matchup. So whether that be an add and a pickup of a player, or making a trade for a player that then helps them win that week, or a move from the bench to the starting lineup that results in the win. So move of the week, there's only really one candidate, because the majority of us actually probably stuck with the lineup as well that he drafted, and but Wyatt has been very busy on the ad drops, and even from his bench to starting lineup.
Yeah, I hit him up and suggested there was maybe a little bit of insider trading going on. A little bit of insider trading and insider knowledge that other guys weren't partial to. But no, he made some real good moves, and probably, to be fair, were the moves that helped him see him over the edge.
What just came to mind there was maybe a bit from one of the early seasons of the league, where Jenny's not in the league yet, but she's getting involved in setting the lineup each week. And maybe there was somebody else getting on there, putting it the way they liked it, and then Wyatt coming back in and setting it back the way he wanted it.
He's just at home having a battle with his other half.
But Wyatt made the additions of Cody Parkey and the Vikings defense. So those two combining together to get 34 points, was it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, 34 points to comfortably then help him win that game and make the difference over Tony's playmakers. So
certainly was. Some good moves.
Good moves, and the Move of the Week award goes to Wyatt. The other award we've gone for is in honour of our commissioner, his team name, and...
Hello. I've just waved.
The debacle that was the draft. I've made a huge mistake award. This is for the guy who in the week makes the error almost in the opposite way to Move of the Week, takes a guy out of his lineup who then scores big, or drops a guy that then scores big. Something that potentially, if he'd have not done that, would have resulted in the win for his side. So the two nominations this week are for Lenny, the footballers, playing RG3 over Flacco. So if he'd have used Flacco from his bench, he would have in fact won his matchup, having another 8 points and beating David. But by playing RG3, who only scored 8.8, he lost that matchup. And second nomination, I'm so happy, it's for myself, for GoBias Industries, doubling down essentially on the poor coaching decision award for leaving so many points on my bench, 54 to be precise. So those are the two nominations this week for I've Made a Huge Mistake, and the winner will be decided by Roger.
The RG3 one is a tough one, because on paper, I guess you'd have gone with RG3, but I guess
you could throw out there the whole fact that Clowney and Watt down in Houston, you thought a bit risky and that side of things.
Yeah,
that'd be the only thing that really crosses your mind.
But because it's you, and that would give you an extra trophy for being a loser for the week, make me feel a little bit better. I'm afraid it goes to you, my friend.
Thank you so much.
I'm always here to kick you when you're down. That's just part of my responsibility.
I may be 0-1, but I have two trophies on my shelf.
That's the problem with the rivers, and I'm slightly resentful of that.
When we start doing the video podcast, and I'm sat behind a wall of trophies, you'll be jealous.
You've been taking the old dairy milk wrappers and making your own trophies out of milk bottles and sticking foil on them.
I don't care. A trophy's a trophy.
Indeed.
So that rounds up our awards for this week. And please give any nominations you guys feel on the discussion board, and then we'll have a decision on it. Or send us a DM on Twitter, something, if you want to stay anonymous. Ooh. About these nominations.
Yes, you have to be a follower of the podcast to DM us, so I certainly do that. Sorry, it was a little bit seductive, it wasn't meant to be.
Oh dear, it's getting late now.
It is. It's been a long day.
So I think we should move on to week 2.
We certainly should. I've picked D-Train and Hooks Repeat as my kind of matchup that I'm intrigued by. Breeze and Payton, will they cancel each other out? Where does that, you know, really leave the difference makers? And I just think Graham will be the difference maker in that, because if Breeze goes off, and I think they will against Cleveland, because ultimately it's Cleveland, and I think the second half was not really indicative of what Cleveland are about. I think they will struggle, and and also Harvin in there as well. I think those will ultimately be the difference makers.
Yeah, I mean, a high projected score, as we know, the projected score is very accurate. With your 50 extra points that you got this week. But a high scoring matchup here, and again, Payton, he just keeps on throwing those touchdowns, so
maybe that first overall pick will be the thing that leads him to the title. Unless someone's going to have egg on the face, aren't they, Mr. Rudkin?
Yes, indeed. Well, we'll see if his aging roster supports Payton.
Falling to pieces roster.
Oh dear. But yeah, good looking matchup. Always good to see two high scoring quarterbacks go head to head.
Yep.
For me, I'm picking out the Kloonbergs versus the Footballers this week. Another projected high scoring matchup, 116-118, taken by Lenny, in fact. What I like about it is the wide receiver position. You've got two second year playmakers for their respective sides, Keenan Allen and Patterson, going against each other in that position.
Tasty, didn't they? Really tasty.
Yeah. Obviously going to be a tough game for Allen against the Seahawks.
Do you think the Seahawks will keep Sherman to the one side?
You kind of think if it's not broke, don't fix it. And at the same time, they obviously, the other guys on the other side, aren't bad either. It's not like you've got bad players.
No, I mean the thing is, I think someone made it. Was it Hines Ward? I think was talking about it, and they were saying it kind of works because also you've got the two safeties, the Seahawks, who are no slouches, and Maxwell on the other end there isn't a bad player as well.
It also comes down to what are you playing the game for, essentially. Like, people keep talking about, if Sherman doesn't travel, he can't be seen as the best cornerback in the league, and he'll never go down as one if he doesn't travel. And he's, but if he comes away with more Super Bowl rings, because as a team it works for them and it's a system.
Yeah, I mean, there's an element of, he's not travelling, but there's an awful lot of respect being shown to him if they're just going to stick their, third receiver on him and not throw to him. That's a lot of respect.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see Phil and the Chargers go against the Seahawks this week. And the other thing about this matchup is also it's the second year running backs with Lacey and Ball head to head in that matchup. Obviously, both number ones in their respective team, and see how that matchup turns out.
Yeah, and will Lacey be fit? As you know, does he come to that concussion protocol? That's another thing to watch out. But, Starks is serviceable. He's just not got that real bang that Lacey has.
He has, but that obviously won't help the Klumbergs if Starks does play. I'm just looking at potential options there. He's got Hill, Jones, Drew, or Freeman on the bench. Should Lacey not go? But
be close. Yeah. Just one thing, and we briefly touched on it. We were talking about, you know, rookie years for Martin. And did you get a crazy noise then?
Latexed it again.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Oh man, you're having one tonight.
Did you know, by the way I'm recording this, I wouldn't have been. I could have deleted that. It wouldn't have come through. So.
Well,
you've screwed me once more.
I don't think my wife would particularly take too keenly for us doing it a third time. Right, Griffin.
Yeah.
Is what I want to touch on. What's your thought process on this? Is it the system? Is it he's not fit? He's not healthy? Is it he's a bad teammate and he's got poor work ethic? What is it with him at the moment? Because the rookie, you know, 2 seasons ago that came to this league and blew us all away and we all kind of fell in love with, it's certainly not him at the moment.
It's, if you just talk about his kind of his ethic and almost his personalities, he's got that charisma that I know that you...
I love it. I love
about him. Yeah, sometimes I know that some things he says or does kind of almost rub me up the wrong way in that sense. It's not necessarily always a positive thing. But
that charisma that you see and that kind of smile and stuff doesn't seem to translate when he gets onto the field. You know, it's odd.
So, I mean, you look at the way they played down in Houston this week, just seeing the stat line from half time, he had 13 of 14 completions. That's great, but it was only for 50 yards. So obviously trying to just get it out of his hands and give it to the receivers and make completions.
But we've argued this. That's not Griffin.
That's not Griffin, and clearly that's not helped them win the game.
You've got to let Griffin be Griffin. You know, you've got to take the rough with the smooth. And yes, he can't slide. Yes, he seems to seek out contact. But that's on a coach to not squeeze a quarterback into his system. It's to mesh the flavours together.
That is it. You think all the time in the NFL we hear coordinators and coaches move to a new team and next thing you see is half the team get cut and they bring in a load of guys and they want to bring in players that then fit his system. And I think there's got to be a lot more flexibility from coaches to see, okay, we've got this guy, what are his best attributes, let's use him, his best bits and our best bits of our scheme and adapt our scheme, get the most out of him, not try and pigeonhole them into playing in one scheme.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch, talking about that, and as a side note, but I didn't watch the, I've only seen the red zone clips from what I've read retrospectively, but they said that the Patriots played quite a lot of zone coverage. And when you've gone and got Revis, you know, arguably one of the greatest pressed kind of man corners to ever, you know, grace the planet. No, okay, it's week one. I keep
and
trying to remind
really
myself.
Work.
But,
this week, so.
You know, that was why you brought him in, so you could be aggressive. You know, with your corners, and then hopefully that would you know, provide some element of, you know, coverage type sacks. But
with Griffin, it's interesting. You're convinced he needs to be given the chance to just make plays himself, not try and force him to stay in that pocket.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. He needs to become more creative with it.
So, I think that rounds up our couple of picks for
this
week going forward.
Anything else you want to touch on, cover? I don't really want to get into anything muddy with the Ray Rice thing.
It's only 2 days as we record this till football again.
Crazy.
So,
thick and fast. We've got to love this time of year.
And for anyone listening to this, you obviously enjoyed maybe this on the Wednesday, so you've only got football tomorrow. what a great week for you. Build up to Thursday night football from us.
And we're hoping, fingers crossed, aren't we, to, I think you've mentioned this earlier, to shoehorn in a Thursday night football takeaways podcast, timing permission. So that will just be a quick blast, touching on Thursday's takeaways and just previewing a little bit more of the matchups and anything that's kind of developed over the few days we've not been on air, I guess, is the
quick blast, providing it gets recorded first time round and we can get it out to you. But
hey,
yeah, so
your tech skills are far advanced of mine, so I'm not really going to stand on Mount Pius and chastise you for that.
Though we're not necessarily guaranteeing an extra Thursday night one each week, we'll be looking. Our kind of regular schedule should be a Tuesday or Wednesday release of our weekly roundup and look ahead to the Move to Six League. And as you all well know, you can find us on iTunes. Just search for Pipe and Slippers and on Stitcher. So please subscribe across multiple platforms. Download on multiple devices. And happy listening.
It's been a pleasure, Mr. Rudkin.
I look forward to catching up after Thursday night, and good luck in week two, everybody.
Enjoy it, guys. Thanks again for listening. I've been sipping a tea.